Hello, I'm Jesse Jordan, and welcome to Love Talk Tuesday. It is a pleasure to be with you. I am so excited to present to you this series that was born from an idea I had a year and a half ago. I have so many amazing friends from around the world, literally in countries like Brazil and Japan and Korea and Saudi Arabia and Jordan and Switzerland. And I have benefited so much from the wisdom that these amazing friends have shared with me. And I want to bring their wisdom, their voices, and their stories to you. Nearly every Tuesday, I sit down with my friends on IG Live, and we have a conversation, a real conversation about love and relationships. And often it gets deeply personal. We don't hold back. We tell the truth and nothing but the truth. And it's amazing. On this podcast, since it's recorded live, you're going to hear computer clicking every now and then and me reading the IG usernames of the viewers who've asked questions of myself and of my guests. And if ever you'd like to join us live, my Instagram is Jesse Jordan Star, spelled JessieJordanStar. We record the show live on Tuesdays at 6 p.m. Pacific time, 9 p.m. Eastern. You're welcome to join us there live. And if you have a love question or a relationship question, feel free to DM me on Instagram. Episodes 9 and 10 are with my friend London Lovestone. London and I met a few years ago in LA at an event, as often happens in that city. And instantly, I could just tell from her aura that she was good people. She's really been there for me, especially during my, albeit rare, but intense times of emotional distress. I could think of no better person to interview, especially about dating outside your race, because she has dated so many different kinds of people from so many different racial and cultural backgrounds. Our talk is insightful and illuminating. I know you're going to enjoy it. Part two.
So I'm just curious, like, what is your thoughts on what attracts you? Like, do you feel like you are attracted to one, you know, ethnic background versus another? Do you find yourself usually not attracted to a certain group, or like, how?
Me personally, I never really considered dating outside my race till about two-ish years ago. That's not completely true. So I've dated African Americans in long-term relationships, but I've been attracted to Latin men. Just never dated one seriously till recently, but that's another story. And culturally, he's Swiss. So genetically, he is part Dominican, part Swiss, but he's Swiss by culture, which is another interesting distinction that we will talk about. Like, sometimes race and culture are two different things, which I find to be so fascinating, particularly in his case. But as far as attraction, I've always been attracted to the melanin in a man's skin. So I prefer melanated men, and that means African American men and Latin men. I've never dated anyone who's Asian. I'm someone who goes for like a certain facial symmetry. I like there to be a symmetry in a face, and I think that's just me. So I do think that Chris Hemsworth is pretty hot. I mean, if he was single and I was single, maybe, you know, I could probably experiment there, you know. But I mean, I wouldn't say in personal experience outside of Thor. I have never dated a Caucasian, strictly Caucasian man. I've always dated African-American or mixed in some form of fashion. I think it's because I grew up in New York City, and I grew up in a predominantly Black neighborhood. But when I went to Columbia, obviously I was exposed to many more races. But what was so interesting about that is that people still stayed to their own cliques. And I was never a clique person. And I didn't exactly fit in to the Black community, because I was in the engineering program, for one. There was only two, like me and one other girl, Black girl at the time. So we were always surrounded by men. So it was a very different experience that I think than most people's experience. So for me, carrying 22 credits, I focused a lot on school and didn't have time to really click off. And in high school, I didn't click off because I wanted really badly to get out of my house. And I knew that college was going to be the way to my freedom. So that was really my focus. And I feel like how we, yes, industrial engineering, Chris, you had a question. I feel like how we grow up sometimes dictates what our choices are in dating. And it wasn't until I read this article, and the article talked about how Black women were the least likely to date outside their race and the reasons why they should.
Interesting.
And I remember reading that going, I never even thought about this. You know, but it made a lot of sense because I think we might be the only ones who don't consider it that often. Yourself being, I would say, the exception, not the rule.
Yeah, which is interesting because all of my sisters are also like that too. Like we've all dated outside of our race.
Maybe it's because you grew up in that kind of like diverse neighborhood.
That's what I was going to say. I think it has a lot to do with that, and also. Sorry if you can hear my dog barking.
That's okay. Hey, Zena, what's up?
But so growing up in, you know, the diverse neighborhood, and then just also my interest in general, too, like in college, I hung out with a lot of Korean people, and I started watching K-dramas and going to, you know, Korean festivals and things like that. So just in general, I think, you know, like I said, when I was in grade school, I was the only Black chick in my class. You know, there was that one other. And at that time, I had crushes on Leonardo DiCaprio and, you know, JTT or whoever the other little cute white boys were at that time. Because that's what I was around. That was what was going on in school. That's who the girls in my class liked. That's who was in the magazines. But then once I started branching off, you know, like, so when I got to college, that's when I started being like, oh, this Asian guy's cute, you know, or this. Because I'm also in that environment, you get exposed more to people who like you. And for me, I'm very much a face person too. So it's like, I just like a chiseled face, sharp, you know, just like a strong jawline, something like that. And so they come in all colors. So, you know, I just look at a dude's face and, you know, I'm like, I like that face. And sometimes it's a brown face. Sometimes it's a, you know, tan face. Sometimes it's a, you know, dark face, you know, whatever. It's just, you know, I think a lot of my dating just also is wrapped up in my interests. So,
yeah. Christique has a question. She says, where in New York did you grow up, Jess, that it wasn't diversity? I grew up in Bedford-Stuyvesant, Brooklyn. And at the time, all the schools I went to, everyone was African-American or Puerto Rican. And so it wasn't until I went to college at Columbia, which is in Manhattan, high school was a little bit more diverse. But for the most part, college was the big grand world opening experience because people from Manila, Philippines were there and from all over the globe, from all social economic backgrounds. Whereas in Brooklyn, growing up as a little girl, mostly Black people who lived in the same 4-block radius that I lived and went to school with. That's all I saw. Hi, cousin. Thanks for joining us. She's doing great.
I will say, because I know you're in an interracial relationship right now. So what obstacles, I guess, as far as like different backgrounds and just, you know, I know some of it could be race-based, but also just the fact that you're from different countries. I guess what kind of obstacles would you say that have been created because you come from different ethnic backgrounds?
What's really interesting about Math and I is that even though we grew up in different countries, we have similar backgrounds as far as work ethic is concerned. We were both super nerds. We were both not popular in high school by any stretch of the imagination. We have similar value systems. We think similarly, but that's mostly because we're both INTJs, the Myers-Briggs indicator types, which was quite fascinating for me. We like the same foods. Now, his version of these foods is obviously German or Swiss German. But I like the American versions of, he likes the Swiss German versions of the same kinds of things. Like, we both have an obsession with peas for no reason.
I said most people are like, peas? We don't want peas.
But they're so, you have to get the ones that are sweet.
I like peas, but I feel like that's what most people don't like, though. They don't like them.
It is. And we both like peas. We both like corn, you know. I mean, he likes a lot more meat than I do. I'm more of a vegetarian type based diet. I just don't like meat all that much. But I also think that's because I live in America and our food undergoes a certain amount of processing that I believe does not happen in Europe. We have to contend with GMOs, like I was telling him the other day. He was like, you need to eat more, which I was like, I would if it tasted like it used to, because he was showing me his dinner, which I'm a foodie, he's a foodie. We exchange pictures of our food because we're just those people. And I was like, oh, I remember when corn tasted sweet and not like, you know, cattle food. You know, I remember when things had a certain freshness that you just, when a tomato tasted like more than just pasty water in your mouth. Like, I think I tried to explain that things are different here because corporations have taken over our food supply. Did you know there's only 5 real food corporations and everything, this whole brand idea is a lie?
Yeah.
Oh, of course, you know. You work in the food industry. Yes.
Yeah. Yes.
So I try to explain things like that to him, how life here is just different than it is there. I would say the only challenge that I personally had was wanting to talk a lot more about the George Floyd racism thing that was happening in the country when it was happening. Because I'm generally, you know, if you follow me on social media, I generally don't talk about things like this very much. I happen to be a very private person. I generally keep my thoughts to myself or to my very small trusted circle of friends. But when this happened and everyone was becoming so vocal, I couldn't help but jump into the conversation to try to educate people on and correct misunderstandings and let them know the truth. You know, my father made me watch Eyes on the Prize, which if you haven't seen that documentary, everyone, watch that.
I haven't. I'm going to watch it.
Eyes on the Prize. It is a full-length documentary about the civil rights movement. It has video of Emmett Till. I've had the picture of Emmett Till and his casket as a 14-year-old locked in my brain since I was 9 years old. Like, it's deep for me. Penelope! Hi! Yay! Okay, awesome. So I was saying...
But you were saying they don't even have race on their forms there.
Yes. And as you know, we met on a dating site. So on the dating site, it's an international dating site, and it does... like, it asks you your racial background. And he was so upset about this. He was like, what for? And what do I say? Because culturally, he's Swiss. But like I said, genetically, he's half Dominican and half Swiss. So for him, it was very annoying to even have to fill out a form that has anything to do with race whatsoever.
Right.
His name is Matthias. I call him Matt. Because it's fun, and it's a nerdy joke. It's our nerdy inside joke.
This is who's barking.
Cena! I love her. Her face is like, she could not be bothered.
She's always, permanently just...
like, whatever. You're just lucky I'm here, people.
Pretty much.
I love it.
Yeah.
When it came out, I wanted to talk about it, but since racism isn't a thing there, and he wasn't exactly eager to have the discussion, but he listened to me. And that, I think, is the most important thing in a relationship where you are from different cultures, where you can't even fathom. To be honest, when we were on the dating site, he doesn't even know how I ended up in his search because he wasn't searching for African Americans. And I said, this was the job of the universe.
Interesting, yeah.
To override what you think you were looking for and bring you what you actually needed in life, and vice versa.
Right.
For me, I was quite open. I mean, that has always been something that was really fascinating to the both of us. Because to me, it's just normal to fill out your
application. Yeah, they ask it everywhere.
Everywhere. And in everything. There goes one of mine.
Right.
And in everything. So, like, that's the thing. And he has experienced racism because when he travels outside of Switzerland, that's when it becomes an issue. Yeah. You know, just people don't expect that he speaks German. But he does.
They just look and assume, yeah.
And to be honest, he and I have the same complexion. We do not have the same makeup genetically, but we have the same complexion. So when people look at him, they assume he's a black man. They assume he's American of some kind. But he speaks five languages. His native language is Swiss German, and he speaks German. And so when he has encountered people in Europe and he speaks German or French or Spanish to them, they're always a little surprised.
Oh, yeah, like, oh.
Yes, yes.
Of course,
Penelope.
The funny thing about genetics, though, that I learned when I was studying criminology and criminal justice, I took a race and crime class, and I learned that, the actual genes for, like, color are so minuscule, that you could jetted, like, me and a white person could be like 99% the same genetic makeup, and me and another black person could be like 80% or even less, because that's how
it works.
Yeah, that's how tiny this is, but somehow it has become the, like, big thing that everyone cares about, and it's like the most minuscule difference when it really comes down to humanity. It's not minuscule anymore because we've made it a big deal, I think. But
these are concepts.
Yeah, I just always find that interesting that, like, you know, you could genetically be more, you know, like, have more in common genetically with a person that looks nothing like you than someone who, you know, people might think is your twin. And it's like, interesting.
That is fascinating. But see, we love the science. And most people don't really read science, science journals and things like that, that would explain such a thing. Their knowledge of it is what they see on television, which I think is sad, honestly. Like, oh, that person doesn't look like me.
Right.
And by what you see,
they must do that.
Right. What you see with your eyes is the determination of who that person is. It literally makes no logical sense whatsoever.
Yeah, it really doesn't. It's nuts, but that's what it comes down to. I know, too, like, we talked about this a little bit before, you know, how we're stereotyped as, like, black women and, you know, sexualized. So it can be hard sometimes dating, too, because it's like, I know, personally, it's like, the things I'm into, you know, I'm a nerd. I like, you know, geeky things and kawaii cute stuff and alternative things. I like a lot of stuff, really, but, you know, so it's like, I'm never, you could say, black enough for the black guys, but I'm obviously not white. I'm obviously not Asian. I'm obviously not these. So then I'm also not, but I'm too black for these people. You know, so there's always this weird thing of like, well, where do you fit in? Because we aren't allowed as black women to be diverse.
Right.
If we're not Megan Thee Stallion, if we're not Cardi B, if we're not, you know, someone that can dance, like, I have no rhythm. Zero. I can do the electric slide, of course, because that's been ingrained in me since, you know, weddings.
Right.
Where I could walk. But other than that, you know, it's like, so if you don't fit into these things, it's like, oh, you're too white or you're too this and people don't want it. Or you think you're too good for people. And it's like, it's none of that. I'm just a black person that doesn't act like maybe the stereotypical black person. Like, but we're not allowed to have different interests. It's like, we can't be a geek. We can't be a nerd. We can't be the science, like, thing, because they always want us to, you know, just be the same. They want to put us in a box and keep us. And it's like, I'm not in a box. And the way I was raised, I didn't have to be in a box. So I'm not going to be in anybody's box. But I, you know, even from a non-dative perspective, I could literally just be somewhere sitting on a train, and because I have piercings and other things in my face, like, black girls will just stare. And I've even had friends say, like, what is that about? Like, did you see that girl stare? You know, and it's just based solely on the way you look. And I hate that, because I'm just like, there's much more to me than this. Like, you're just looking at me, and because whatever in your head, you can't understand why I do the things I do. I like what I like. Like, that's your problem. It has nothing to do with me. There is no superiority complex here. I trust me. I know I'm black.
I know it. But, you know, I'm aware. Like, I've been living with this my whole life.
I'm black, but I have diverse interests, you know? I speak Spanish sometimes, you know? Like, that's just
It's just me.
And so, yeah, you know? But it just feels like in society, sometimes it can be just hard because I always just felt like no one wants me in their little group, you know? Like,
I want you in my little group. You're in my group. Now, I relate to that so much. Like, I was 5 years old when I went to kindergarten, and I got started, like, they called me white girl. And I'm just like,
yeah.
What?
No. Yeah,
like, why
no.
Why do you talk like that? Because my father taught me to speak English like
that. Right.
I'm like, what am I supposed to say? I'm five.
Right.
And then automatically, because I was quiet, because I was an introvert, and because I speak the way I do, she's conceited. I'm sorry. What? No.
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 Yeah. No.
I'm shy. Can I be shy?
Thank you. Can I be a quiet person who just likes reading?
Can I just not want to talk?
It's so interesting because I feel like America needs to change so much, but how do you change the hearts of people? Like, that is the biggest question on the planet. How do you change people's hearts as well as their minds about such a thing? For me, it's been like personally trying to be an example, I want to say. Just be who I am in the world in a way that the world can see and be and change their minds. That's also one of the reasons I did teaching for a while, you know, teaching English as a second language worldwide, because I wanted to be this example of, hi, there's more than just Meg Thee Stallion in America. I'm here too. And yes, I will teach you. And yes, yeah, I'm college educated, Ivy League college educated. Yes, I read. Yes, I can do physics and calculus. Yes, these things are all true. It's possible. Anything's possible in America.
Yes. Yeah. I do like what Penelope said here. She says she feels that in a different way as a pink white person who dresses differently. I get stared at. It's a reflection of them, not you. Be proud of who you are. Okay. And I think that's such a good point, because to your question, how do you change people's mind? You just have to be yourself, honestly.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think authenticity, the truth, is what just is going to speak for itself. So, you know, at the end of the day, if you're doing what makes you happy and you're being true and authentic to yourself, I think there's a certain frequency, a certain energy that will put off to people. And you know, you're just like, that's just that girl. That's just that person. Like, she's, you know, and that's what it comes down to. Just be yourself. And, you know, despite what everyone's saying, I will say, you know, I talked a little bit about my previous relationship with the Korean guy, and, you know, straight up, his family was racist, you know, and his mom was super racist. And I will say that her and I ended up getting to a place where she was actually very nice to me and helpful, and we could be in the car together and she would drive, you know, me certain, you know, and we got to that relationship because at the end of the day, I just did me. I was myself. I was raised right. I never disrespected her. I never gave her attitude. That's not how I was brought up. She's an elder. Even if she is a little ignorant at times, I'm still in her house. I'm still going to be respectful, you know, to her. And at the end of the day, she said I was there for her son, you know, while he was going through treatment. And who's there in the hospital with him? You know, like, who's there, you know? But I will say, funny, on the flip side of that, there was one time, I don't know if you remember those San Bernardino shootings that happened. There was like a shooting that happened out here in San Bernardino. Do you remember that?
Vaguely.
And I remember we were all out to dinner, me and his brother, his mom, and I think his aunt. And so his brother saw the news and he says, oh, there was just a you know, shooting in San Bernardino. And his mom says, oh, were they black or Latino? Yeah. I'm like, oh, what? Like,
that's a natural assumption.
Another reason why I, you know, like him and his family, because they will call her out. Like, his brother was like, mom, And he called her out. He said, you know, the biggest mass shooting that happened in the U.S. was the Virginia Tech guy that was Asian, right? Yeah, shut her up. So, you know, it's just, but stuff like that, yeah, it's just like, okay.
That's going to be hard not to be accepted for who you are with your significant other's family. That's got to be a challenge.
Yeah. But, you know, at the end of the day, like I said, if you just stay true to yourself, like, your personality is going to shine through anyway. And if their hatred is so deep that they can't see it, then it's not someone you need in your life anyway. So
exactly, they're toxic to you and toxic to their loved one as well.
Right, exactly. I will say, though, one of my favorite parts about dating outside of my race is always going to be food. You know,
yeah,
certain dishes that I probably wouldn't have, you know, come across otherwise, you know. So I don't know, have you, just, you know, I know you talked about you and Matt having similar tastes in food. Has he introduced you to a dish you just never had heard of before? Or?
Oh, all the time. They all have German names. Yep. So I never know what he's talking about. So the other day.
Have you tried them, though? Have you actually had them?
No, not yet, but I anticipate having them. They eat a lot of pasta, which is good. I'm down with that. I'm really down with that. He introduced me to something. I do not know how to pronounce it, and I'm not even going to pretend to butcher it. But he translated it for me into English, and the translation was mouth pockets.
Mouth pockets?
And so I always get a kick out of whatever the English translation of these dishes are, because they're always something hilarious in English.
That is hilarious.
That is fun. It ties into one of the questions we had about... Where is it? It's about embracing your significant other's culture. Like, I find it fun to really learn about Swiss German things. For those who don't know, Swiss German is the dialect, one of the dialects of the part of Switzerland that he grew up in. So they don't teach it in school. You only learn Swiss German at home. And then when you go to school, you learn German. So he grew up automatically speaking two languages, and then learned French, because there's a French part of Switzerland as well, and Spanish, because, like I said, his mom is Dominican. And so learning about the culture has been one of the most fascinating things for me. However, he's already been absorbing Fox News, which I told him he's not allowed to watch. I was like, you're not allowed to watch Fox News. This is something he's been doing since before he met me. He's like, you're not allowed to watch Fox. Maybe CNN, but if we have the conversation about it, I have to clear up some things. But he had already absorbed enough American culture to be able to converse. So it's not really a new exploration for him. He just feels sad for us all over here in this.
I feel sad for us.
He feels sad for us. He sent me a link this morning. Trevor Noah, The Daily Show. By the way, Trevor Noah, did you know he is half Swiss? He is.
I did know that.
He's half Swiss.
I did know that.
He sent that, and it was another, you know, Trevor's tirade about what's happening in this country. And I just sent him back a GIF of Leo DiCaprio crying, going, "It hurts! It hurts!" So that's our little cultural bit, but I find it fascinating. And there's still so much for me to learn about the culture, about the language, about him growing up there. I mean, they live literal farms there.
Right.
And villages, right. like in Gulliver's Travels, you know?
Green exists.
Yeah. Yeah.
I have a question. I don't know if you know this or if you talk, do they have black peat in Switzerland?
Black beets? I don't know. I can find out.
My brother, he dated a woman from Holland, a Dutch woman, and he went to go visit her back in her home one time, and he came back and was telling us how they have their Christmas. They don't have Santa Claus. They have black peat. Black peat is basically just blackface. It's this guy, and he's Santa's little helper, and basically it's like...
This is wrong already.
Yeah, I just remember being so shocked, like, that existed. But it is a thing, though, because the funny thing is, I was telling someone this story at my last company's holiday party, and the head of my department, he's actually from England. And so I was explaining this story at the holiday party, and he looks at the picture and he's like, oh yeah, he's like, that looks like how, you know, my dad and his friends used to, like, there's this thing in England where they dress up and they play like accordions, or I think accordions, I don't know, but there's some musical tradition around dressing in blackface apparently. But it's like, to them, you know, not coming from America, like, they didn't understand that that's like a very offensive, terrible thing. And so I just think it's so strange how, like, you know, just,
yeah, I've never heard of that. The yeah. only thing I've heard of, regular, you know, St. Nicholas. And then there was a children's program that all the children used to watch right before bed. It was the Sandman. And yes, they had some questionable characters, I think. Like one not a penguin. I don't know what it was. I'll have to look it up again. And he didn't say anything or do anything weird, but that was it. But it didn't seem, yeah. Anything like the Pete you described just
yeah,
now.
No, yeah. I was just wondering, because I'm like, I wonder if that's in other places in Europe too. Like, outside of Holland. So I was just curious.
I'm going to do a deep dive and see if that's a thing. I think he would have mentioned it if it was, yeah. but I'll yeah. find out. Fascinating.
Victoria's mom said it was part of a children's book many years ago. Oh,
really?
Black people. Huh.
Well,
interesting.
What did they call him? St. Pete?
Black? I don't know. My brother said he was Black Pete. I don't know. He might have a Black. More proper name.
Christmas. Let's see. Black Pete Christmas book. Ornament comes. Oh, my, no. Oh my, no.
Yeah, when you see the image, you're like, what?
Wow. My eyes actually hurt. No. All kinds of no. No.
Yeah, I was just surprised this was still a theme. And you know, the 21st century, is that what we're in? I don't know.
It's specifically Dutch.
It is? Okay.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Holland. It's specific mm-hmm. to Holland. It's so bad. There are red lips.
It's awful.
And blue eyes, red lips, blue eyes, and clearly shoe polish used to make the black face. Wow.
But this does remind me of a funny story now that we're talking about holidays and tradition. So my sister, she's married to a white guy.
Mm-hmm.
And before they were married, you know, I went home, met him, and we were all celebrating Thanksgiving together. And so we thought it'd be fun to just, you know, like, he's kind of one of those gullible, Forrest Gump type white men. So we thought it'd be funny, you know, to just, you know, mess with him a little. So we just started pretending that we had all these, you know, black traditions on Thanksgiving and making him do all kinds of weird, crazy things. And at one point we said that in black culture, we have the turkey dance off every year. And so... Yeah, so my sisters and I, we all, you know, we explained to him, it's a really big deal, and so, you know, the winner gets a trophy, and you have to come out and do your best turkey dance presentation.
Wow.
And so we're just out there walking, and he's just, like, looking, trying not to be like, what the hell is going on? But I could tell in his head, he's like, as they say. But that's also just me and my sisters, we have very silly senses of humor, and that's just stuff that we find super amusing. But
I love it. Did he enjoy the joke? That's what I need to know.
He did. He took a little while to get it, but mm-hmm. he enjoyed it.
That's funny. That's funny. Wow.
Yeah.
Interesting.
That reminds me, have you ever been to weddings or other celebrations from other, you know, cultures with a partner, and they've done things where you're like, oh, like, well, this is an interesting tradition, or
been to? No, but witness it as he's gone to weddings, and he sends me videos of the wedding. They have this very special dance at the reception, which he does not participate in because he doesn't dance whatsoever. He refuses to dance. I make jokes about it now, but yeah, I got to watch watch the dances, which is interesting because there's a lot of tradition, like European tradition, Swiss traditions in their culture and baked into everything, even down to how they greet guests and the social aspects are things that I'll have to get used to because we don't have those kinds of expectations in America they do and how you're social and when you're social and with whom you're social. You know, everything is usually done in someone's home, which I think is kind of lovely, kind of sweet.
Yeah, I like that.
Yeah.
It's like more, makes you feel more family, you know, or like it's more personal that these, you know, someone's let you into their, you know, private space and, you know, it's more of a community feeling.
Absolutely. Yeah. I think for introverts, it's a little bit of a challenge. It could be a challenge, you know, because there are expectations of where you have to be and what you have to do.
Right.
But I think when I experience them, it'll be fun for the first time.
That's true. I know you're not really a drinker, but my thing is you just always go find a beer and sit in the corner and have a drink with someone. And that's the best way to break the ice and kind of chat it up. I find, you know, when I'm, you know, in certain situations, I'm just like, okay, that person looks like they're in the car too, having fun. Hey, do you want a drink? Okay, sure. And then loosens you up a little bit. And next thing you know, you're in the middle of the party later.
Oh, is that what happens?
That's right.
Okay.
Yeah.
Duly noted. Yeah. Duly noted. Okay. Good plan. Good plan. Let's see if there are any last questions before we have to let you go.
Dun, 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 dun. Yes. Yeah, I apologize. I intended to stay the whole time, but got hit with the last minute project that I must.
Nope. I think we're good. I think I've asked you everything. Either I've asked you everything or we covered it accidentally anyway with our general conversation.
We're just so efficient.
We are. But I didn't expect anything different. Not from us.
I know, right? Yay. I appreciate you for having me. Thank you.
And thank you for coming. Thank you for being so open with your own life and your suggestions. And I didn't expect to be interviewed too. That was new.
I always have questions. I see.
Penelope wants to know, why does being in an interracial relationship mean so much in America?
Because Americans are obsessed with race. Mm-hmm. That's what it is. We are
from our history of slavery.
Yeah,
that's why.
Yeah, it's just because much of your position in America is based on your race. Like before you are born, how you look determines to a certain degree the path that you will.
Even down to healthcare. I mean, the mortality rate for Black women in America, after giving birth, is higher than any other race. Yeah. That's because we're not listened to, we're not believed when we're told about pain, and people generally don't care. So that's why it's a big issue, because it's not adequate, it's not equal, it's not the same. We're not all having the same experience. Whereas in other countries and other cultures, everyone's generally having the same experience, generally speaking.
Yeah. Right.
Not here.
But not. I hope it will change.
We do hope it will change.
I hope it will. I don't know, honestly. Quite frankly, America is running the way it was designed to run, so I don't know that it will ever not run this way. But hopefully, in the future, maybe the operators will change and the game will change. So
maybe there's hope for it. I mean, there's enough.
Yeah.
There's enough pushback against the status quo for there to eventually be a tipping point.
Yeah.
And I was so surprised that we exploded the way we did and that it hasn't died down. And when this everything first happened and erupted, I was hoping that it wouldn't die down unless actual change happened. It looks like that's what's happening. Well, we'll see. And to that, people, vote.
Yes.
Vote so that change can actually happen, because it won't happen by magic, unfortunately, or well wishes.
I hope it does. I'm waiting for Jesus to return and just burn it all down. So,
well, I would like not to do the burning part. If I get a choice in the matter,
back, it's to burn it. If he's coming back, it's to burn it. So, I don't know. But again, thank you.
Thank
and
you.
Thanks for all the people who are here participating and your lovely comments. Appreciate it. So,
and questions. Boat.
All right.
Thank you, guys. Thank you so much for participating. It's been an amazing show. Thank you for your questions and your attention and sharing and your love. And we will see you again next Tuesday for another episode of Love Talk Tuesday. Till then, stay safe.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Jessie.
Love you.